Now, another issue with the holiday season upon us, Black Friday is coming soon. There's going to be a lot of shopping all throughout this season. And, you know, for some people, you know, they don't like shopping, but they have to shop for their friends and their family, and they do it, and they do what they need to do, and they're done with it. But some people are overdo it. Some people are addicted, much like people are addicted to food. You know, we all have to eat, we all have to shop, but some people just overdo it. A recent study that came out showed that 1 in 20 adults have developed an addiction to shopping. Buying shopping disorder, BSD, is characterized by extreme preoccupations with and craving for buying and shopping, and by irresistible and identity-seeking urges to possess consumer goods. That's a heck of a lot of words to mean you shop too much. And with us to discuss shopping addiction is Melissa Caldwell-Engel. Melissa is a licensed professional counselor with over 25 years of experience treating addictions. She's the clinical director and co-founder of the Healing Springs Ranch, an internationally recognized residential treatment for adults recovering from addiction. Hello, Melissa. How are you?
Just fine.
Now, a lot of people roll their eyes about this and they say, oh, now this is an addiction. Oh, sex addiction. Oh, computer addiction. How real is it to say that people have a shopping addiction?
Well, it's real enough that it destroys people's lives and breaks up families and causes all kinds of problems for folks. So it's just as real as substance use.
And, you know, as an attorney and a family law lawyer, Melissa, I see this all the time where I have one party who likes to go out and spend on things and the other party's working and trying to save and kids need to go to college and one party is off and there's tags on everything in the closet because he or she hasn't worn them. And it causes breakdowns of the marriage. Money is number one. Spending money is number one reason why marriages break up, according to the research that I've seen. So I agree with you. Can you tell me what are some of the bullet points for people who you think can say, like, okay, I have this addiction?
Well, some of the behavioral things you would see would be, just like you mentioned, if they have a lot of stuff in their closet that still has the tags on it or still in the bag, buying stuff you don't really need, getting kind of overly excited when you buy. Quite often afterwards they'll feel remorse and try to rationalize their buying, or they'll hide their shopping bags. They'll be anxious if they're not able to shop that day, and they can't seem to stop even when they know there's a lot of negative consequences. So those are some of the hallmarks of the behaviors that you can see. But the underlying issue is that addictive pattern fills an emptiness and a void and probably a sense of not being worthy or having value within the person themselves. That's the underlying root of it.
So if you, is it the addiction to the actual going out and buying, or is it the addiction of having things and, you know, having a wardrobe full of clothing and shoes? Or is it kind of both, or depends on the person?
It's both. I mean, it can be some people, it's just the process. It's almost like for some people, the shopping is about finding things on sale, getting them very inexpensive, even if they don't need them. And I kind of joke about it. It's like I'll tease with the men. I'll say, it's like when you go out and you wait and you wait and you wait for that perfect buck to shoot. For women, they wait and they wait and they wait for the perfect sale. But it takes on very much of an addictive nature when they don't even need it.
And so you say this, and if you have any questions or if you have any comments or if anyone out there knows somebody who has this problem and you'd like to ask a question here of Melissa, please give us a call at 981-7200, 312-981-7200. Is kind of off the topic just a little bit, but is there such thing as an addictive personality? I've heard that where someone says, you know, I can get addicted to all different things, whether it's, I start decorating for Christmas and I can't stop. I'm on the computer. I can't get off the computer. Is this something that there is such a thing?
It's not a formal diagnosis, but are there people that have many, many addictive patterns? Absolutely. And if you don't deal with the underlying core root, like I was kind of mentioning earlier, if there's any kind of childhood trauma, if there's feelings of insecurity or worthlessness or poor self-esteem, and you're looking for an external solution to an internal problem, it's real easy to focus on as many different external solutions as you can. And some people will stop drinking, and they'll say, you know, I've been clean and sober for 10 years, but they have this horrible gambling problem or this horrible shopping
yes.
problem, or they start smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. So it'll substitute if you don't deal with the underlying core root.
Interesting. And that's what I see a lot. What you're saying is you could solve one problem and it just kind of morphs into something else without attacking the core part of it. When you talk about an addiction like to drugs or to alcohol or to smoking, let's say, there's a component of that that is physically addictive in a way that maybe computer addiction is not, or shopping is not. Is there a difference? Can you parse it that way, or is it all kind of part and parcel of the same thing?
Well, a lot of people will talk about, you know, there's certain drugs, alcohol, you have to go through a detox process and you're going to have physiological reactions, whereas like with marijuana, you may not. But whether you go through a physiological addiction and your body is addicted chemically to it, once you get the chemicals out of your system, the emotional addiction or the mental addiction, the pleasure center of the brain, that part of the brain that lights up with the excitement and the way that those feelings are experienced in the body is the same as what we call process addictions. And what you're describing is a process addiction, when you're addicted to a process. So if it's gambling, shopping, pornography, sex, codependency, eating disorders, people get addicted to the processes. And interestingly enough, it affects the brain in the same way in regard to the pleasure center or the reward center in your brain.
I know that you have written about computer issues, and I think a lot of counselors and a lot of people are talking about how that is changing people. Can you just describe a little bit how the fact that we're all on computers all the time, looking at social media, shopping online, you know, messaging people, how is this affecting us long term? Again, I'm sure we don't know yet because we're not there, but is this affecting these kinds of addictions?
Oh, absolutely. And we're starting to see some of the research that comes out with it. A big piece of it is when you're dealing with someone who has addictive patterns, like what we're talking about, who already has poor impulse control, to be able to have the secrecy and kind of hide in your own home and nobody has to know, and secrecy is part of the addictive pattern, it just makes that so much easier. And people are able to do this so much quicker. I mean, it takes less effort to go push a button on a computer than it does to get in your car, drive downtown, go to the stores. So it really kind of helps to create that little secretive bubble around the person that struggles with the addiction.
So if you have this problem, or if you know somebody who has this problem, or you see someone maybe sliding into that issue, what are the things, obviously you're going to say to go get counseling to deal with that underlying problem, that feeling of worthlessness or the feeling of insecurity or void that you might have, but what are some of the things that you can do from an external standpoint to stop this behavior?
Other than counseling and kind of getting to the core issue, if you just want to focus on kind of a behavioral structure, you could make sure you have a budget, have someone that works with you, have someone help you manage your money, make sure that maybe you don't go shopping alone. It's kind of like any parameters with any other, like with drinking or other addictive cycles. You don't want to put yourself in situations where you can act on something impulsively. So you're going to want to have support around that and build parameters to protect yourself from yourself if you're just going to address the behavior. If you want to address the underlying issue and get to what is driving this and causing this, that's ideal.
And what do you think about children on their computers? There's a lot of parents out there and grandparents out there. What are some of the parameters that maybe, I know you're a parent yourself, and I'd like to hear from your standpoint, how are you dealing with these kids being on the phone, being on their computers all the time? I think there was a stat that said that college women are on their phone or their computer 10 hours a day during college. I don't know if that's true, but I read that.
Wow. Yeah. That's not surprised me, but that's scary.
What do you say to your kids, and what kind of rules do you make?
The research is kind of changing. It's continuing to grow and change. It's pretty scary. This is probably a whole nother show we could have on this one, because it's very upcoming. It's very scary. What we're learning now is when I was growing up, the exciting game we got to all play was called Pong. I don't know if anybody remembers
that. Oh, yes, yeah.
But you could be both players and have time to go to the kitchen and get something to eat before the ball would get back to the other side of the screen, right? So it was a very slow-paced game. What they're showing now is that the actual frequency of lights, the flickering, the colors, and the speed and how rapid the movements are, it's actually affecting children's developing brains. So this is really pretty scary. This is affecting people at a physiological level, and it's affecting the development of their brain.
And so what would you say to parents? What should the rules be? I know it depends, but what would you say to your kids? Is there a number of hours a day that they can be on their phones? Do you put it aside at night for a certain amount of time?
Definitely with the games that the kids are playing, they were saying at one point in time no more than 30 minutes a day. Now they're saying no more than an hour a week.
Wow.
So it's changing, and it depends on what they're playing and what they're doing. But a lot of these very fast games that the most addictive, oh, this is the part that's really scary too, they used to say that the most addictive drug was methamphetamines. Then they said when you measure the excitability of the brain, methamphetamines is the strongest. Then they show that pornography trumps methamphetamine when you look at the excitability on the brain.
Oh, my goodness.
Now what they're saying, now what trumps pornography and methamphetamine is the non-ending games that these kids play.
Wow.
So our kids are at the highest level of excitability and addiction on the brain with the games that they play at the age of 7. So it's like, what's left for these poor kids?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Melissa Caldwell-Engel. Where can people reach you if they would like to discuss this further?
At Healing Springs Ranch, and that's in Tioga, Texas.
That sounds wonderful.
You can look.
Mm-hmm. It's a place where people go and you treat them there?
Yes, ma'am. It is a treatment facility for people that struggle with addictive patterns, and they can look on our website. It talks all about it. And one thing we do different is we get to the core issue. We get to the core root that's driving these addictive cycles, whether it's chemical addiction or process addictions, which includes shopping. We help deal with the underlying core issue so the patterns themselves and the addictive personality stops.
Thank you so much, Melissa Caldwell-Engel. Have a happy holiday.
You too.
All
Thank
right.
you.